But what does God have to do with each type of suffering that we discuss? Then I want to come back to the heart and ask, what does this say to our faith and our hearts, all right? Last week we talked about self-inflicted suffering, and many times in that moment whenever we are suffering the most, or the person has just died, or whatever the situation it is, many times we shake our fist at God when these things happen, and we understand in retrospect, after we have healed somewhat, that we realize we shouldn't have been shaking our fist at God, but praise God that we worship a big God, amen? A God that can handle it. So, but many times in this particular type of suffering, honestly, the decisions that we make, things that we do or don't do, cause our own suffering in many ways, that type of suffering. And it's hard for us, we can hardly shake our fist at God when we really look at it logically and say, why did you do this to me? Why, God, why? And so that's one of the topics that we discussed last week. The next one was suffering inflicted on us by other people. And how can God allow this type of suffering to be inflicted upon us, an innocent bystander? How can God allow the choices that one human being makes affect so many people and bring suffering on so many people? And to that question, if you remember right, I ask another question. What is God's alternative? What is God's alternative? And of course, the alternative is where we are all moral robots and we have no freedom and we do exactly what God tells us, the master puppeter, you know, tells us to do and say and think. But the thing is, that is not how God created us. God created us, if you remember from Genesis, in their own image, plural. In our own image is how it's stated. And so we are created with the ability to create, with the ability to destroy, and with the ability and freedom to make up our own minds and to make up our own choices. So we have the ability within our own hands and hearts and minds to bless or curse, the ability to choose good or evil, the ability to be good parents or bad parents, the ability to choose between supporting life or snuffing life out. We have that power. God has given us that gift, and God trusts us with that decision. So, in part two of the sermon, why is life so unfair? Why is life so unfair, and why do bad things happen to me? We have four other topics, and they get more and more, to me at least, difficult as we progress. The first is poverty and suffering in the two-thirds world. Now, some of you may have never heard this before, but whenever you hear the news talk about the third world, that's actually, they're speaking of two-thirds of the world. More of a population is in that third world than in our portion of that population. So it's actually two-thirds of the world's population when you hear the newscasters talk about the third world. All right, does that make sense? That's why I call it the two-thirds world. And since I've been a pastor, I have heard honest, loving people say to me more than once, I really want to believe in a God that I hear you preach about, but I find it absolutely impossible to believe in a God that allows so much of the world's population, supposedly God's children, to live in sub-poverty conditions, to allow tens of thousands of children every single day to die of malnutrition and related diseases. I cannot comprehend, this is what folks have told me over and over again, I cannot comprehend a God who would treat his children that way. Well, that's a very good compliment. And to be honest with me, but with you, for years it stumped me. It really stumped me. But let's ask another question regarding this comment. Is there enough food on this planet to feed every human being? I would venture to say that there's enough food in this country to feed every human being in the world, let alone all the other countries of the world. All right. Are there enough natural resources in this world so that everyone can have clothing and shelter?